Tonight we have the opportunity to pray. It's a Monday night prayer meeting, and in just a few minutes we'll go to our knees if you want to. Stay in your seats if you would like to, whichever you prefer. But this is, to me, I think, maybe to the camp and to the kingdom of God, it's important. And every one of you that are here tonight are important. That you touch God on behalf of camp. You saw the bus that came in and the myriad of cars that followed. And a lot of boys were dropped off and some small little girls in the cottage. And we need to pray. God answers prayer.
Amen.
And as we pray, we could expect that God is going to answer your prayer. The petitions that we desire of Him. Thank God He prays for us. And we can say amen to the prayers that He prays, but He wants us to pray also, to cry out to Him, to believe Him. And so I'm always thankful to be able to be in prayer meeting on Monday night, the first day of the camp period when the children have just arrived, and to just encourage all of us, the staff. I know you've been here a couple days and guests, some just today, others have been here a while, but for these children, and not only for the children, but for ourselves, and not only for ourselves, but for the needs of others, and back home, and wherever it may be that you and I can join our faith together. It's a tremendous blessing that we can pray. I know you can pray in your room, and I know you can pray out on the lake, and so why don't we just all go do that? Well, one of the reasons why we just don't all go do that right now is because there's something special about corporate prayer. About uniting in faith, everybody uniting in faith. When the church prayed, you remember what happened to Peter? He was in jail that one night. He had a bad day, and there he was and stuck. And the church, it says that the church prayed for Peter. I don't know what they were praying. It doesn't seem like they were expecting much of an answer, at least not in the way that they had thought. Maybe they were thinking litigation is going to work in our favor and we're going to get a good attorney. Spring them, lest what happened to James happens to Peter. Beyond, above and beyond what they could even ask or think. I see it that way at least, because when Peter came knocking at the door, the lady that answered the door, she didn't even believe it was Peter, and she told them, and they didn't believe it either. And Peter's standing out there, and they're praying for him that he'd be released, or God bless him, and he's out there knocking, trying to get in, and finally they let him in. It must be, well, it was Peter. Above and beyond, and I would like to expect, I would like to have the faith to believe that God can do above and beyond what I could even ask or think. Now, you know, you got kids down there. I heard 72 boys are in the village. Now, that, as I remember it, and it's been a few years, but as I remember it, that's capacity, am I right? That's as many as they can handle up there. Probably more than they can handle, but it's as many as they have beds for. And, you know, that's tremendous. 72 boys with an opportunity to meet God. What could God do with 72 boys? If He could change the world with 12 boys, He could do a lot more than that with 72. If He could get a hold of them. If He could fill them with the Holy Ghost. And you say, oh, yeah, I hope He gets a hold of one. Above and beyond what we could even ask or think. He is able. And not only for those boys, but for all of us. For you, for me. For our needs back home, for the problems. Maybe you got problems going on in your life. Above and beyond, God answers prayer. So before we pray, let me just call your attention, if I may, to one verse of Scripture in Genesis chapter 4. And I don't know a lot about the circumstances surrounding this verse. It's the last verse in the chapter, and in the NIV it's only the last half of the last verse. But you know what's happened in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. I suppose you know the story of the creation and Adam and Eve. And this was way on. This was before Noah. This was way at the beginning of time. And you read a statement at the end of that chapter that I think it's the first time in the Bible, I'm sure it is, that you read something like this. It says, and at that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. And that interests me. At that time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Now, this was before Israel. This wasn't the nation of Israel. This was before anything and anybody. There were no Christians. There were no Jews. There was no nothing. There were a bunch of people that God had created, Adam and Eve, and from them we got more that came, and now you've got how many people, I don't know, in the world, and I don't know what precipitated this. I don't know if there was a problem going on. I don't know how they knew that they should call on the name of, I don't know how they knew the name of the Lord. It's not the name of a generic God. This is the Lord God. And maybe there was a need. Maybe there was a drought. Maybe there was a plague. I don't know what was going on in their lives, but I do know this. There came a time, and this was the first time that we know of, at least in history, that men began, and I think men and women maybe is implied, men began to call on the name of the Lord. And it's not the last time, it's the first time. It's the first time a group of people began to call upon, and the only witness they had was creation itself. The heavens declare the glory of God. Now David was to write that long past the time that we're reading about, but the heavens were created by God, and the stars and the moon and the sun, and I don't know how in their concept of what God was or who he was, but they began to call upon him. That word call upon means they began to cry out. They began to plead. They began to beseech. Calling on the name of the Lord doesn't just mean that I'm sitting here and he knows my name. You know, you like to sing that. He knows my name. Well, he knows your name. And he knows my name too. But there comes a time when, although he knows your name, you can call upon him. You can plead. You can intercede. You can. There must have been a need that precipitated it, as I say. And so they began to reach out for the Lord, to call upon him. And that's the first time. But as I say, it's not the last. And you read of Abraham at Bethel. Abraham called upon the name of the Lord. Isaac called upon the name of the Lord. Jacob called upon the name of the Lord. The prophets called upon the name of the Lord. Elijah on Mount Carmel called upon the name of the Lord. He just didn't stand there and say, well, Lord, here I am, and they're the prophets of Baal, and let's see what's going to happen, and I'll just sit here. He called upon the name of the Lord. They called on their gods, and nothing happened. But I'm so thankful that when men begin to call on the name of the Lord, something happens. When God hears your prayer and your cry out to him for help, for whatever the need or burden, Hayford wrote in his song, just in faith, look up on high and praise the name of Jesus. Just call upon the name of Jesus. You don't know what to do with your problem, with your situation, your circumstance. You can talk it out and talk it out. Just call out to the name of the Lord. And that's a good idea, I think, biblically. It says in Isaiah 55, seek the Lord while he may be found. Then what's it say after that? Scholars. Scholars. Not you. Scholars. Yeah. Call upon him while he is near. Well, when's he near? Is he near tonight? Where two or three gathered together in his name, scholars. That's you, staff, scholars. Where two or three gathered together in, he's what?
In our midst.
He's in our midst. He's near. He's near. You don't have to go to heaven to get him down, Paul said, right? You don't have to go down there to get him up. He's nigh you. He's close to you. He's as close to you as what?
Brother.
His word. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. That word which we preach, we confess. Jesus is here. He's not far from us, not far from any one of us, the poet said, remember? He's close to us. He's near to us. He's near to you. And he looks for us to call upon him, seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. I think it's Jeremiah 33, where Jeremiah writes basically the same thing. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things. Call to me. And I will answer you. I believe that. I believe that is true. I believe that because I find in the Word of God, and you found maybe in your life and experience, that when people call out to God, when they call upon the name of the Lord hears them. How many times do you read the story of Gideon? You read it, I know, in Judges 6. Where the Midianites had oppressed Gideon and his army, or the people of God, for so long, 7 years, they were under servitude to the Midianites. And all of a sudden, those people, it says they cried out. They called out to the Lord, and the Lord heard their cry. Psalm 40, Asaph said, this poor man cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. The Lord hears us when we cry, because he's not so far away from us. He's right here. And he's right here for you to call out to him to meet you and your need and my need and the camp's need and your church's need and your family's need and any other need. And you can call out to him. It doesn't say the priest should call out to him. It doesn't say the deaconry needs to call out to him. And this poor man cried. And you and I can cry out to the Lord and beseech and plead with him. David in the Psalms over and over again, call upon me in the day of trouble. You got a troubled day? Where's Sister Aletha? She's still having a troubled day. She told me today's a day and a half. How could that be? You can't have a day and a half in one day. But what she meant, I guess, is she's had a day and a half worth of problems in one day, and she's trying to squish them in, and they're not quite finished yet, because the Hofländers, as far as I know, haven't yet arrived with their entourage. Their train was whatever happened. And they're still coming. They sort of been here hours ago, but I guess it's been that kind of a day, right, Rich? It's been that kind of a night and a day and a day and a night, and Rich had some trouble getting to camp, too, big trouble. And in the day of trouble, what can we do? What can we do? We can call upon him. And I like what it says. It doesn't say, just call upon him and hope for the best. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. And I will show you my great and mighty things that you know not of. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing that men began one day, way back when, long, long ago, they began to call on the name of the Lord. And all through the Old Testament, the patriarchs and the prophets and David and it all began to just continue, I guess, in waves at different times of history. They called on the name of the Lord. My cousin was here. She could bear it out, I guess, and tell us much more than I can ever tell about church history and about revivals. But I think that every revival that I've ever read about, the Great Awakening or the Welsh Revival or whatever it may have been, here come the cooks. I wonder if Sister Edith is behind them. She's not. Every revival was begun with somebody or some group of people calling upon the name of the Lord. And as they did, as Evan Roberts called upon the name of the Lord, the man woke up in the middle of the night. It was just the glory of God just shone upon him. And he just called on the name of the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And literally a whole nation was changed because one man called upon the name of the Lord. A young man at that, not an old gray-haired fogey, but a young old man. Old men are the ones that call upon the name of the Lord. I didn't say Fogel, I said Fogey. There's a difference there, so don't. Okay? And thank God that we can call upon the name of the Lord. What's it say in Romans 10? I got to quit now because it's time to pray. But what's Romans 10 say? Verses 12 and 13? Oh, you know it. I know you know it. If I started it, all the scholars would in unison, they'd just well right up. Whosoever shall... There you go, right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, the church was begun, right, in a prayer meeting. At a time when people waited upon and tarried and just sat in it and just called out to him and waited for God to move and manifest himself. And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, maybe the reason why you're not saved, and I don't mean from sin, I mean delivered completely, saved, sanctified, maybe you haven't really called upon the name of the Lord. You haven't called upon the name of the Lord. Everybody else but you haven't called upon the name of the Lord. I suggest to you, tonight and tomorrow and the next day and every day, do what they learned in Genesis 4 and what they learned throughout all the scriptures down to the present day. Call upon the name of the Lord. A man named Peter was sinking in the middle of Brampton. I don't know what lake it was. I guess I do know what lake it was. But he was going down. And you remember what he did? Call upon the name of the Lord. What did he say? Three words. Not heaven help me. Lord, save me. I don't know what the Greek is. I don't know what language he spoke. I don't know what he was talking about. But in my Bible, it says, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Did you ever say that? Did you ever call upon the name of the Lord? And did you ever say, Lord, save me? Oh, how good it is to be in a prayer meeting. I'm excited about what God can do. because I still believe that God answers prayer. And as we call upon Him, He hears us. And if it's a day of trouble, He'll deliver us. And He'll meet those boys as we pray. He'll come. I know prayer has been made since last year already. Before January, there were prayers for Pilgrim Camp. And all through since 2010, people have prayed and prayed. And some have prayed every single day for Pilgrim Camp. And then maybe our prayer tonight would be, Lord, we just pray that there be an answer to the prayers that already have been prayed. I once was laying in a bed in a hospital in Bethpage, Long Island, and my lung had collapsed a long time ago. And there I was playing basketball, and all of a sudden I couldn't breathe very well. And your dad came and prayed for me. It didn't help. I still was laying there, couldn't breathe. So we decided the next best thing is to go to the hospital. I don't say it didn't help. I mean, the Lord spared me. Maybe it did help, but I wasn't healed right away. And there I was laying in the hospital, and I stuck a tube in here, and we're waiting for... They hooked me up to a machine. I could see where the bubble was bubbling, and if everything was going well, the pressure equalized. You can tell it by that machine. It wasn't happening, and a surgeon came in, and he said, tomorrow is the day, you know, we'll... And then it was a big surgery. They had to make a big cut to get in there and put silly putty in the hole in the lung or whatever they do to plug it up and make it better again. And it was a Sunday. It was a Monday that the surgery, and it was a Sunday. And people had come from the church in Bethpage in Long Island. And people had come from the city and their fellowship churches and visitors. And everybody that came prayed. And everybody that came prayed. And I know they were praying in their churches, whether they were there or not. And people... And now it was getting dark, and it was later in the night. And I can remember, the only thing I said was, Lord, I just claim an answer to all the prayers that everybody's prayed all day. And I called upon the Lord. I didn't scream. I didn't yell. It's not wrong all the time to scream or yell, but you don't have to. And I just called upon the name of the Lord. And I said, Lord, I just believe you for an answer. Maybe tonight that's what we need to do. Lord, we just believe you for an answer to all the prayers. And as I called upon the name of the Lord, as I prayed that prayer, that thing just stopped, and that was it. And they pulled the tube the next day, and instead of the surgery, I was fine and have been fine for the last long time now. And I thank God for it. Call upon the name of the Lord. We can pray tonight. We can unite in prayer. We can plead with God. Power with man and power with thee. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Lord, thou art my pattern day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. You know, when I look at the prayers of Jesus, Jesus knew how to call upon his Father. And he often did. And he cried out sometimes with a loud voice in prayer and beseeching his Father. And other times it wasn't so loud and it was a little bit up in a mountain apart to pray. But he seemed to have to call out to Father. And as he did, Father heard. And as he did, Father not only heard, but Father answered. Father, I know that you hear me. You always hear me. Remember, that was his prayer that he prayed. You always hear me. And I know that you hear me when I pray, Father. And at that time, I believe it was in John 11 when he was praying for the resurrection of Lazarus. Above and beyond. But Father hears. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above. You know, we worry. I hear people worry. And I'm concerned too. No prayer in schools. That's a bad thing. No prayer in schools. I'm more concerned about no prayer in church. I wouldn't really always expect it in school. I don't read the Apostle Paul was wringing his hands and, you know, oh no, Nero's not letting us pray in school. We better watch out now. I don't know what we're going to do. Caligula is worse than Nero and immoral and everything else. And I don't see that. What I see Paul saying is, you know what, let's be the church we're supposed to be. And let us do what we're supposed to do. What we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Let's we, the church, call upon the name of the Lord. Let's do what they did in Genesis 4. Men began to call on the name of the Lord. And I guess I just asked the question in closing, have we ceased? When is it that men have stopped calling upon the name of the Lord? Oh no, I trust that we haven't. And I trust that by the grace of God we never will. And I trust that by the grace of God, He'll help us tonight. He'll give us prayer in the Holy Ghost. He'll teach us to pray as we ought. The Spirit makes intercession with groanings sometimes that cannot be uttered, but God will help you. And so, don't just, you know, prayer meetings. I remember when I was on staff long, long time ago. I can remember prayer meetings were a nice time to just kind of chill out and, you know, leave the world behind. Because you've had a long day and you've never served a table before, and now you've been serving tables and you've never washed a pot in your life. I don't want to pick on the pot boy, but you know, now you've got your first experience and enough of this, and I'm going home. You know, I'm going to sleep is where I'm going. Call upon the name of the Lord, not necessarily for yourself, but for everybody else, that God may be glorified, that He may be exalted. Oh Lord, we just pray tonight that You'll help us. All that are gathered here tonight, Lord, we're not at camp by accident. You brought us together by design. We believe that. We've often prayed that way throughout the earlier months, Lord. And we do ask tonight that You'll help us, Lord. Teach us. Teach us to pray. Lord, to call upon You. Lord, we ask that the staff and the guests and every one of us will be united as one in prayer and in faith. For the cottagers and the villagers in Natick and Nonantum, that Lord will unite in faith together for the staff that have gathered during this period, will unite in faith together for the guests that are here, and Lord, perhaps there are burdens that some carry, needs that some have, troubles in our lives, but we thank You, Lord, that we can bring these cares and problems to Jesus. And Lord, that we can call upon You, and we want to do that. We pray that You'll help us, Lord, that You'll inspire prayer for Jesus' sake, that You may be honored and that You may be glorified. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.